Blog Talk Radio.
The bowley gears for miles round Katy Town. And when you hear that I'm a wild, they'll raise a hullabaloo. When you hear about that handsome lad, they call a Donahue.
For I'm the boy to please her, and I'm the boy to tease her. I'm the boy to squeeze her, and I'll tell you what I'll do. I court her like an Irish mammoth, a brogan blarney too. You come with a rollickin', hollickin', swollickin', mollickin', bow the Donahue.
A red, red rose upon your garden wall, and me to be a dewdrop, and upon her brow I'd fall. Perhaps she might think of me as a rather heavy dew. No more she'd love that handsome lad they call a Donahue.
For I'm the boy to please her, and I'm the boy to tease her. I'm the boy to squeeze her, and I'll tell you what I'll do. I court her like an Irish man with a brogan blarney too. You come with a rollickin', hollickin', swollickin', mollickin', bolder.
I'll tell me now when I go home, the boys won't leave the girls alone. They pull my hair, don't I come, but that's all right till I go home. She is handsome, she is pretty, she is the belle of Belfast City. She is courting, one, two, three, please won't you tell me who is she?
Albert Dooney says he loves her, all the boys are fighting for. They rap at the door, they ring at the bell, say no, my true love, are you well? She comes as white as snow, rings on her fingers, bells on her toe. Old Johnny Marie said she'll die if she doesn't get the fella with the roving eye.
I tell me ma, when I go home, the boys won't leave the girls alone. Then my hair, so my comb, that's all right till I go home. She is handsome, she is pretty, she is the belle of Belfast City. She is a courting, one, two, three, please would you tell me who is she?
Come single bell and bow, and to me pay attention. Captain Kelly's kitchen with me, sure, lure, la, me, sure, lure, la, dee, me, sure, lure, la, and me, sure, lure, la, dee. At the age of 17, I was apprenticed to a grocer, not far from Stephen's Green, where Miss Bell she used to go, sir. Her manners were sublime, she set me hard at twitching, and she invited me to a hoolie in the kitchen with me, sure, lure, la.
I found that and I thought I would play it to pep everybody up because everybody's full of food. Everybody's just lounging around and they're taking inventory of what's not working today. Yep. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. And we have some light news and some heavy news. Last night we went to a hoolie for senior citizens. You get one hurrah, and then you sit down and you keep your mouth shut. And as I'm looking around at the table, I could see somebody calling bingo numbers, and we're all in a home together. And that's what happens when you get to the other side of the mountain that you climbed your whole life. And now you're on the coming down into the valley. And your government is waiting for you to take as much money as possible. This is, we talk about other countries being overtaxed. Like I see they got a 35% evaluated tax in Brazil. And a guy wants to buy an iPhone and it costs $1,200 in Brazil. And you can get it here for $4. that's very discouraging, especially when you're not making as much money as the Americans. But that's what governments do. When, once governments lock on to your financial interests, they always take a bigger piece. And last night I took a poll and I said, who is the bigger mafia, the mafia or the federal government, or just plain government in general? And they all shouted at the government. And then a subject came up, off-track betting. I said, where's all this money going to help the kids in schools from the lottos and the off-track betting? And the off-track betting in New York went broke. The mob had off-track betting for generations, and they always managed to make money. And then the state took it over, and they went out of business. If you can't stay in business in gambling, how are you going to stay in business in any other venture that you participate in? So the story that I got on the off-track betting from guys that are were big participants was that all the politicians quietly acquired the locations and rented them to the off-track betting people. And in my neighborhood, there is an off-track betting vacant location, and it's never been occupied. And the reason it's never been occupied is because off-track betting has a 100-year lease, and they're paying it. So this is what I say about government. They have two weaknesses. Their two greatest weaknesses are intelligence and the ability to negotiate. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? It's unbelievable. And that's the way we're going, downhill on a toboggan, on a fast toboggan. What else came up that, they were talking about the Adam Lanza kid, you know, the crazy, the psycho. And did you know he changed his socks 20 times a day? Huh? So they were blaming guns. If he didn't have any guns, he wouldn't have killed anybody. But nobody said, how about two armed guards at the door, and then we kill Adam when he comes to kill all the kids? No, 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 no. We've got a sign that says this is a gun-free zone. It's right next to the sign that says this is a drug-free zone. Yeah, are we in trouble, man? Are we really in trouble that we are so naive that we won't see the knife that cuts our throat? It is really sad. And Adam Lanza had tons of guns, and so did his mother, and they got pictures of him when he was a little kid. And I got to tell you something. I know people that have, in their family, bipolar children. Okay? And the people, one family in particular, has cops in the family and hunters in the family. Never once have they ever talked to this bipolar child about learning how to shoot, which every kid learns how to shoot. Teddy Roosevelt got a gun for his birthday when he was 13. Well, those were the old days when that was before communism. Yeah, those days are gone. But believe me when I tell you that people that know how to handle guns have a very good idea of who should not be allowed to handle guns. And they're not taking any chances. Okay? So that's what normal people do. The funny thing was that three women, instead of blaming crazy Adam Lanza, okay, who destroyed his hard drive. Can you imagine how much evil was in that computer that could give us a clear look at Adam Lanza and why those children were destined to die unprotected? And now they're going to demolish the school. unbelievable. Yep. We're getting rid of everything but the trace of what really caused that massacre. It is really sad. Two guards, armed guards. If you see the way he came in the front door, the school door was locked. He shot the side panel window out. I believe it was right next to like an office where teachers and administrators were sitting. So they had to see him pull up. They had to see him pull his gun out of the vehicle because he didn't just jump out from behind the steering wheel with guns. He had to reach in and get his rifle and whatever else he had. And they had to see that. Now, an armed guard would have stopped him before he even brought, as soon as he saw that rifle, that armed guard would have put around him. And if he killed the armed guard and there was a second one in the building, the kid still would have had a chance. But nobody wants to hear that. They think you can stop that with a sign that says this is a gun-free zone. Right next to the sign that says this is a drug-free zone. So that's what we had needed to save the lives of those kids and teachers, and we didn't have it. So rather than admit stupidity and failure, we blame the gun. And somebody else argued that McVeigh had manure and lime and blew up the FBI building in Oklahoma City. He didn't have a gun. And he killed all of those kids. And the person who introduced that argument said, what are you going to do, outlaw manure and lime? And then another guy said, the guys that did the Boston Marathon had a pressure cooker. You're going to outlaw pressure cookers? Yeah. It's unbelievable. But the only thing you really have to know is that the Communist Party of the United States in 1962 had 45 goals, and one of them was the elimination of the Constitution. They weren't going to just eliminate the Second Amendment. They were going to eliminate the whole thing. And that's a sacred document. And it's as powerful as the Ten Commandments. But anyway, I thought I'd just give you that little bit of information. Was there anything else that one woman said that the Second Amendment was written only to protect America from the British in case they came back. And but I didn't read that when I read my Second Amendment. My Second Amendment didn't say, This Second Amendment is only in case the British come back. It didn't say that. And so there were three women there that called for the securing of guns, removing guns from the country, the entire country. And of course, we also know that in four states alone, there are 2.5 million hunters. Registered, and every hunter, one guy there had five rifles. you know what I'm saying? You know, like there's at least 300 million guns. And I quoted Admiral Yamamoto, who, in planning the attack on Pearl Harbor, was asked by his military, why not continue on and attack the west coast of California and invade the United States? And he said, Admiral Yamamoto said, behind every blade of grass is an American with a rifle. We cannot do it. And I believe Hitler had a similar plan, and that was his conclusion also. And it's funny because when Hitler seized all the guns of the German people, and they said, why are you taking away our guns? He said, why do you need guns? That's what we have the SS for. And I just concluded with, whoever wants to take your guns away intends to kill you. And that was the end of the conversation. And, oh, by the way, the three women are all in the public school system of New York, or were all in the public school system of New York. So how sad, huh? And I also reminded them that Jimmy from Brooklyn once called me and said, guess how many Italians are in the mafia throughout the country? And they all laughed. And I said, Jimmy said 8,000. He said, guess how many communists are on the Lower East Side of New York? And I said, I don't know. How many? He says, 800,000. Unbelievable. And you see what we got for a mayor now, right? Yeah. You better get a bicycle if you're coming to New York. But anyway, a fast bicycle. We'll see what happens to the crime statistics. He's picking a good police commissioner who worked under Giuliani, so that might be a good move. We'll see how it goes. I give you a little bit of Longhand Mambo. Back. You want to go back in time? You want to go back to 1982? Wasn't too long ago, was it? In 1982, this is from a book called None Dare Call It Treason, 25 Years Later. Could it be all planned deception? In 1982, a former top KGB planner who had defected to the West wrote a book outlining long-range communist plans for world conquest. The book, entitled New York, New Lies for Old, was published in 1984. It was in it, Anatoly Golitsyn predicted a coming false liberalization in the USSR. Spurious independence for the communist nations of Eastern Europe and the possible demolition of the Berlin Wall. Amazingly, he predicted it all years in advance. In 1982, Golitsyn wrote, "Communist strategies are now poised to enter into the final offensive phase of their long-range policy for the complete triumph of communism. The communist strategists are equipped in pursuing their policy to engage in maneuvers and stratagems beyond the imagination of Marx and the practical reach of Lenin, and unthinkable to Stalin. Among such previously unthinkable state stratagems are the introduction of false liberalization in Eastern Europe and probably in the Soviet Union, and the exhibition of spurious independence on the part of regimes in Romania, Czechoslovakia, and Poland. In Poland, the communist strategists probably are planning the reemergence of solidarity and the creation of a quasi-social democratic government, a coalition of the Communist Party, the trade union, Solidarity, and the churches. Liberalization in Eastern Europe would probably involve the return to power in Czechoslovakia of Dubček and his associates. If it should be extended to East Germany, demolition of the Berlin Wall might even be contemplated. Pressure would well grow for a solution of the German problem, in which some form of confederation between East and West Germany would be combined with the neutralization of the whole and a treaty of friendship with the Soviet Union." Everything Golitsyn predicted in 1982 and published in 1984 had been fulfilled by 1989, including the changes in Poland and Czechoslovakia, the demolition of the Berlin Wall, and the reunification of Germany. What about changes in the Soviet Union itself? The liberalization will be spectacular and impressive. Former pronouncements might be made about a reduction in the Communist Party's role. Its monopoly would apparently be curtailed, and the KGB would be reformed. Dissidents at home would be amnestied. Those in exile abroad would be allowed to return, and some would take up positions of leadership in government. Zakharov might be included in some capacity in the government. Leading dissidents might form from one or more alternative political parties. Censorship would be relaxed. Controversial books, plays, films, and art would be published, performed, and exhibited. And the liberalization would be calculated and deceptive in that it would be introduced from above. It would be carried out by the party through its cells and individual members in government, the Supreme Soviet, the courts, and the electoral machinery, and by the KGB through its agents among the intellectuals and scientists. So, having said that, and with something I thought I think I read, here we go. Are changes in the USSR reducing the military threat to the U.S.? Since reformer Mikhail Gorbachev came to power in 1985, the Soviets, while smiling and talking peace, have outproduced the United States in most weapons areas by margins of 4 or 5 to 1. During 1988 to 1990, for example, the Soviets had a 12-to-1 advantage in ICBMs, producing 415 new long-range missiles to 33 produced in the United States. And you know, Obama was fired a guy that was in charge of 450 missiles, right? Long-range missiles. Similar disparities, a military officer, similar disparities existed in almost every category of weaponry. Soviet bomber production totaled 215 to our 33. The Soviets launched 29 nuclear attack submarines while the U.S. built 14. The Soviet edge in sub-launch ballistic missiles was 215 to 103. The Reds outproduced the U.S. in tanks, 6,500 to 2,000, and armored vehicles, 15,000 to 2,300. Has the failed coup, the death of communism, supposed elimination of the military hardliners, etc., made any difference? On September 10, 1991, the Associated Press reported, despite reforms underway in the Soviet Union, Pentagon analysts say they expect a production of some of the Kremlin's most lethal weapon systems to continue because the Soviet economy is so dependent upon military construction. Even so, President Bush, in a dramatic late September speech, that's Bush 1, announced major unilateral steps to reduce U.S. nuclear capability in hopes that the Soviets would reciprocate. That's one of the 45 goals of the Communist Party in the United States. It's one of the very first ones. The president announced that the U.S. would bring home and destroy all short-range nuclear weapons, cancel the around-the-clock alert status of the Strategic Air Command, and reduce strategic long-range weapons. He said, if we and the Soviet leaders take the right steps, we can dramatically shrink the arsenal of the world's weapons. Even if the former Soviets would respond in a dramatic way, what assurance would there be that they would fulfill any new commitments they make? Before the U.S. acts on changes in the Soviet Union, reformers should fulfill all the treaties made and broken by communist regimes for the last 70 years. There is evidence they won't. In the closing days of 1991, after the Communist Party and the Soviet Union had both supposedly been dissolved, U.S. Defense Secretary Dick Cheney announced that the former republics of the Soviet Union were continuing to produce and deploy nuclear weapons despite their commitment to reduce those arsenals, Cheney said. One of the things I'm worried about is that even with their economy in a state of utter collapse, we still see efforts inside the former Soviet Union to produce more nuclear weapons, to deploy new ballistic missiles targeted against the United States. It's going to be difficult for the American people to feel a good deal of confidence that things have truly changed over there until we see an end to this kind of activity. So, that's back in the old days of 1982. And when we come back, I'm going to give you a tune. And this tune is 8 minutes long, but I'm going to cut it. I'll cut it after two to three minutes max. And then we'll be back and we'll give you an update on the Soviet and Chinese plans for the destruction of the United States. This is Coming Home by Herbie Mann. It's very good. Okay, we're back. That was Herbie Mann, Coming Home. Now we're going to do China and Russia, Coming Home, to your home. Yes. Now, this is a report by a guy named Lee Bellinger, and he's an investor type of character. And I picked up on this because this is his Ready for Anything report, and he tells you what you can do in the event of a nuclear strike. And I don't mean that they went out on strike. They came to strike. Top media outlets in China recently boasted of the country's awesome nuclear capability. They released the detailed strike plans. If enacted, the attacks would claim 50 million American lives. Now, that's a number that's going to arouse some ire. After the World Trade Center collapsed, I said, what's the magic number that's going to get this country off its ass to wake up and fight back? And 3,000 was not the answer. And I doubt if 3 million is the answer. But 50 million is a wake-up call. Yes, yeah, so let's see what they were saying here, these guys. China released a detailed strike plans. If enacted, the attacks would claim 50 million American lives. The report revealed that China is capable of striking major cities on the West Coast via submarine launch. Their land-based launch systems put New York, Philadelphia, and Annapolis within their range. So if they can hit Annapolis, you know they can hit Washington, D.C. Such an attack would cripple the West Coast of the U.S. and would claim 12 million lives in the initial strike. People as far inland as Chicago would be affected by the resulting radiation. East Coast strikes could claim up to an eighth of our population. So what's an eighth of 300 million people? 24 million, right? China is not the only country flexing their nuclear muscles in September 2013. Russia launched large-scale war exercises that included use of several nuclear-capable missiles. When Russia and China are posturing, it serves as a good reminder that that even though the Cold War ended decades ago, we still live under a nuclear threat. The next war will be nuclear. It is not going to be gunshots. And George Patton said that twice in his lifetime, we have come from behind after an initial strike to win a war, but he doubted if we could do it a third time. And that's from a seasoned military officer. And the reason he gave was missiles and nukes and the speed of war. So fortunately, surviving a nuclear attack is possible. And this is where this guy goes into his survival recommendations. But I just wanted to give you that. And, of course, he said the six keys are shelter. I'll tell you what they were. Shelter, food, communication, knowledge. He didn't say prayer. I guess he figures you can say your prayers on the way out, huh? Speaking of prayers, there's a black girl that's that's considered brain dead. And the hospital spokesman came out to tell her fans that were praying for her that all the prayers in the world will not bring her back to life. How's that for being an optimist, man? Mr. Singer said all the prayers in the world will not bring her back to life. Wouldn't it be something if he was wrong? Oh, Lord, where are you when we need you? So knowledge and communication will be two casualties of a nuclear hit. You know about the nuke that goes off in the atmosphere and it takes out all communication, destroys all the grids. And you know what? It's going to be very, all these people that were complaining about vending machines not having the calorie count on the bags, I wonder how they're going to get by carrying their mattress over their head with all their belongings as they, you know, they throw a suitcase away because it's too heavy, as they walk over the still standing remnants of the George Washington Bridge or the Verrazano Narrows or the bridge to Brooklyn. We're in trouble. You think we're ready for anything? You think we're smarter than the greatest generation? The generation that married the one woman? The generation that believed in God? The generation that was drug-free? You think we're smarter than them? Those hicks that won World War II? Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think that there's more mental cases walking around today in this country than ever before. We got a nation of wackos and weirdos and freaks. Yeah, unbelievable. And it's really sad. Okay, so having said that, now that we're back to normal, we'll give you a little Hawaii 5-0. By the way, the Hawaiians hate us. Did you know that? Okay, somebody sent me one of those, you know, they ask a question and then you got to drop down for the answer emails, and it said, you want to see a picture of the first king-size bed? And so I scrolled down and you know what it was? A manger. Wasn't that clever? Yes, I like that. I like that. I saved that picture. Here comes Santa Claus. I don't call him, since they're trying to sanitize the birth of baby Jesus and put it in the background and bring forth a secular crap on the birthday of the king, I've decided to do just the opposite. So no longer do I call Santa Claus the Santa Claus. I call him Santa Claus. Everybody thinks I'm speaking Japanese. But anyway, that's what I've done. And, okay, so here comes Santa Claus to fight communism. Communist political officers in the U.S. military And it's funny, I did this one, and the next day I see that they're selling out a lieutenant for, gave him 20 years in prison for defending his troops. What a bunch of rat bastards we got running the military. Their goal is to destroy this military. It is communism 101. American spirituality is the basic foundation of a fighting team. Destroy that, you destroy the team. The Democrat Party is now the Communist Party of divide and conquer. Wait till you see how many troops Obama and the Clintonistas kill on the run out of Afghanistan. Every takedown has a purpose. The Party of Death kicked God off the party platform at their evil convention in 3 roll calls. Yep, 3 times they said they denied Christ. The Communist Party votes to burn the flag. They made child murder the law of the land. Welfare is vote slavery, as is illegal immigration. In the 1930s, Mao Zedong grew poppies to destroy the USA. Narco-terrorists delivered the drugs from below the wide-open border. The Party of Death will legalize it for junkie votes. In communism, the minority uses the majority to gain power, then kills all the useful idiots. No God, no country. And to those who think we won the Cold War, wake up. Who is more feared today, the Catholic Church or the ACLU that was founded by a communist? Okay, and then I have some photos for Christmas that were posted by GIs. One guy is dressed as Santa Claus, and he's got 2 AR-15s. And another guy is dressed like Santa Claus, and he's sitting in a helicopter manning a machine gun, a 50 caliber. And with the guy with the, he's coming down a air-conditioned tent hall with the 2 AR-15s, completely dressed as Santa Claus. And I put under that, here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Cross. Here comes Santa Cross, right down Santa Cross Lane. And then the guy sitting on the 50 caliber, he knows when you are sleeping, he knows when you're awake, he knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. And then I have another picture under that, and that picture is the greatest gift, and it's Santa Claus kneeling in, shaking the hand of baby Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? And 2 lambs. There's 2 lambs there. And I asked the question, would atheists tell children there is no Santa Claus? Santa Claus was a bishop in Myra, Turkey, about 325. He helped create the Nicene Creed, which is the basic beliefs of Christianity. Kids would put their shoes out at night, and he would come by, and he would put coins in them. His name was St. Nicholas, and I used to live off of St. Nicholas Avenue in New York City. God bless America. So let me give you another tune.
Here we go, boys and girls. We're recording. There used to be a song in the 50s, maybe the late 50s. It was called He's a Rebel. It was sung by a group of girls called the Crystals. And there used to be a gang where I lived called the Rebels. And they loved it. It was like their theme song, you know.
We're going to do Hurt.
So I got to...
Obama's lying. What?
And we'd never part.
article from Clash News, Clash Daily, and the title is Females in the Marine Corps Do Not Have to Measure Up to the Physical Requirements. Females in the Marine Corps currently are not required to do even a single pull-up, and a deadline mandating that by January 1st, 2014, they be able to do at least three pull-ups as part of their training has been delayed for at least a year. This is a country on delay. The health care bill is on delay for some, and for others it's required. Yeah, unbelievable, man. Everything's on delay. 50 years ago we went to the moon. Today we can't even get a bicycle down a city street. It is it's ridiculous, man. It is really. We are a bunch of wimps and losers. Yeah. The United Wimps of America. And you know what? This is disgusting. Unlike their female counterparts, male Marines have long been required to do at least three pull-ups as part of their physical fitness test. I know when I was in basic training, I was hanging on a pull-up bar. I couldn't do one. A lieutenant come over with a sergeant and try to scare me into doing three, and I just hung there, and they just laughed. They couldn't believe it. And eventually I got up to 10 pull-ups, but the guys would do 60, 70, 80. Here they're talking about three. Oh, man, are we in trouble? In trouble. And I love to read the comments. That's where I get my news. I know one day, see, the majority of the public have woken up to the fact that the media lies and covers up for the Communist Party. I mean, you look at the New York Times, and they were lying about Joseph Stalin. Stalin used to write their editorials, and he would publish them through a guy named Walter Duranty, who was the editor, and they covered up the murder of 10 million Ukrainians. The New York Times, if the New York Times can cover up the murder of 10 million Ukrainians, they can cover up a government to take over. So I don't trust the New York Times. NBC, forget about it. I mean, they got hate. They should have a cobra for a logo, dripping venom. Unbelievable, man. You say Sarah Palin at NBC and you'll get sodomized by six guys. Yeah. Okay, so here's what the responses were. And it's only three comments. Nothing new here. When I was in the Air Force radio shop, half the bimbos could not carry the large radios we had at the time, but still got promoted. One quarter of the shop was female, and they all got pregnant at the same time. Guess who took up the slack while they were on desk duty? Just another way to destroy the military. New York police guys will tell you the same thing, man. New York, you know that at the shooting range that the male officers are asked to load the magazines for women because they had just done their nails to put the bullet. Can you put the bullets in the magazine? I know guys that refuse to do it. This is not news, to be quite honest. The physical standards for female soldiers were lowered decades ago. And somebody asked, the last one I'm not going to read. It has to do with sanitary napkins. I remember women demanding to be allowed to go into the battlefield. Okay, they got it. But they should not expect the physical or mental standards to be lowered. If they want it, do it right, like Vasquez on Aliens, or stop complaining. The oldest rule in a combat unit is the weakest link causes the chain to be broken. Yes. It is going to be sad. It is going to be sad. We are all playing games with the lives of decent people. The rule is the rule of fighting units and has never been questioned. Now we have a girly man in the White House and a bunch of politically correct officers. They got to purge. If Patton walked into the Pentagon tomorrow, all you would hear would be gunshots, slaps, and people jumping out of windows. And they'd all be in the front. He wouldn't let any, you know what Patton said? No good battle decision was ever made in a swivel chair. Now we have a girly man in the White House with a bunch of politically correct officers, and that's how they get promoted. 200 have been relieved. 200 combat officers have been relieved of their jobs by Obama, Bin Laden. Also in combat, the worst officers get fragged. So will the weakest links. Sad day for the world's finest military ever, and the guy signs it Semper Fi. But you look at the greatest generation. They didn't go to the gym and work out. And here's a guy that says, he is no girly man. He is a plain and simple, and you can't say the F word, a stupid, inept loser, and there's the F word again. Then they should not be in the Marines if they can't meet the physical standards, says somebody else, a girl named Francis. Now, that's not social justice. Everyone gets a medal. It is sad. Some nasty remarks. I won't even mention some of them. What a surprise. Progressives fight under the banner of gender equality and then bend the rules after the fact. Now that's absolute hypocrisy. The social experiment at the Naval Academy have seen the same results as in other services. A huge increase in sexual assaults. I saw that. You know what? If there's a lot of sexual assaults in the military, can you imagine what's going on in the universities? Huh? Isn't it wonderful that somebody invented a date rape drug? Now the Marines are expected to allow women in combat, and they can't keep up with their male counterparts physically. That's not only poor for morale, but it will get good troops as seriously dead. Yeah, that's for sure. I think that's the intention. Obama has turned our once strong military into a ridiculous joke. I agree. When you have two Marines holding umbrellas while he gives a speech, what he's really saying is, F you, America, and your children. The Apostle Paul spoke of a woman as the weakest sex. The Apostle Paul has never gone shopping at Walmart with one. Oh, there's certain things women are very good at, but I'm married to a Conestoga woman. She is pioneer stock, and she will tell you that women don't belong in the military. There's a pregnant paratroopette paid 1.5 times jump pay. First it was the gays, now weak women. Our military is turning into a bunch of wimps. First to fight, deploy these groups first. You know, the sad thing about going into combat for the first time, the first wave always takes a shellacking until they get conditioned. That's where the highest casualty counts are. I just got to look at Omaha Beach. And how many pull-ups are man girls expected to achieve? Equal rights without equal responsibilities equals politically correct nonsense. Barry has done his absolute best to undermine the morale of what was the finest military in the history of mankind. See, this would never happen in my country, makeover. You could not serve in the House or the Senate or President if you did not have a DD-214. You would have to serve your country before you get into the Actors Guild. I would like to see some brave young men sue the military for discrimination. If women don't meet the physical standard, then cut their pay. In all fairness, female soldiers are referred to as sandbags with breasts. They can still stop a bullet meant for you. That's not a good reason. Female recruits will be paid the same as male recruits for doing less, E5 pay without the play. Don't ask and don't tell them, and they can't do pull-ups. I'm sure that Al-Qaeda is so intimidated by them. I heard that the brand new, it was never verified, I only heard it once, so I can't say it's fact. but I heard that the American Embassy in Baghdad, which is a brand new, I think it's a $5 billion embassy and is built for security, had a gay pride parade 2 years ago. And I wondered to myself, all of the civilian employees there that are locals and saw that gay pride parade, I wonder if that night when they went out to the Diwaniya and they were sitting there with Al-Qaeda, and they said, do you know what the Americans were doing today? They were dressed as women, and they were acting as fornicators in a parade. They had a parade inside the embassy. And I'm sure that somebody from Al-Qaeda said, well, you know what? Let's kill them all. Which they would do anyway, but why give them an additional incentives? Not sending the biggest, baddest, toughest, strongest people into battle sounds like a recipe for failure. PC and equal military opportunity be damned. With the CIC we have, yes, he is a commander-in-chief, and as a commander-in-chief, he is responsible and can be tried for cowardice in the face of the enemy. If he left those guys in Benghazi on the battlefield to die, he could be shot. Bogus political correctness. I find this shameful. I am a woman, but I do not support women doing jobs that they are not qualified for. And that the standards need to be lowered is humiliating. Well, the goal of the Communist Party is to destroy the U.S. military. And during Nam, they destroyed it with heroin. And I was sad to learn that some of those killed in action actually were overdoses coming back to the United States, and it was covered up. And that is sad. That's a heartbreaker. You know why? Because the day that they turned Saigon into a brothel was the day I said, this is the wrong way to fight this war. These guys should be bivouacked out in the field, and they should not be around the civilian population. And they should go there and just win the war and come home, or do their term tour of duty and come home. And as a result of all of the faux pas that took place in the Vietnam War, where there were more VC in New York than there were in Vietnam, they did away with the draft, which was the first leg on destroying the capability of the U.S. military. The draft was an equalizer for the country, and it was an opportunity for the country. And it was a bring everybody together opportunity. And now we don't have that. Now we have a mercenary group that is underpaid and abused. And when I come back, I'm going to read you a story about a guy named Lawrence who went to serve his country, and his country screwed him. And he's not the only one. There are other guys rotting away in Fort Leavenworth who were betrayed by the American people because we were supposed to watch their backs. And one day we're going to pay for all our indiscretions.
Your baby doesn't love you anymore. Golden days before they end, whisper secrets to the wind. Your baby won't they fly, send falling stars that seem to cry. Your baby doesn't want you anymore. It's over. It breaks your heart in two to know she's been to weep, then say goodbye. You won't be seeing rainbows anymore. Setting suns before they fall echo to you, that's all. But you'll see lonely sunsets after all.
I used to have pictures of guys who went into the service and eventually got screwed by the government and had to do time in jail. And they were like on postcards, and they had come, they had done a mailing asking for help and donations. Usually it's the wives who are out there in left field, left all alone, abandoned by the U.S. government. I never seen such a disgraceful tactic as what has taken place. When the guys went and won World War II, they came back, they had GI bills, GI loans. They were treated much better. And the education rate, more people graduated high school than ever in the history of the United States. And today you got 1.1 million dropping out of school I guess it's every year, I forget what the I hope it's not every day. But anyway, three pictures flash in my mind. These are three that were convicted of war crimes against the Pentagon and were made examples of. And it's really sad because when these guys go to jail, their families lose all benefits. Mama doesn't get a paycheck. Mama can't shop at the commissary. Mama's in trouble, and so are the kids. And they're just thrown into the wind. One incident comes to mind that really was really upsetting. There were three soldiers, part of a sniper team, staked out outside a village that was a known a Taliban haven. And what happened was, and that is a movie out about a whole squad that let the two guys go, and the two guys turned them into the Taliban, and only one guy survived. But this was a similar situation. And these three guys were heavily camouflaged, and they had, and a villager got too close to them. And the captain ordered one of the troopers to kill him. And the captain held him down, held the villager down, and he ordered the soldier that was with him to kill him, which he did because they didn't want to give away their concealment. So what happened was, after the mission was over, the Afghans demanded a trial for the three for murdering an innocent villager. And what they did was they shipped the commanding officer and one enlisted man home to be tried, I think it was in Fort Bragg, to be tried for their crimes there. And they were found not guilty. And they left one guy to be tried in, now, you know what, it might be Iraqi. It was one of the two war zones. And they left one guy to be tried. I think it was in an Iraqi court. And he was found guilty, and he was sent to prison. What a dirty deal. And the commanding officer who ordered him to shoot the Iraqi villager was found not guilty in the United States. So I get this card, and they got a picture of this guy. I'm trying to remember his name. Might be Avella. And he is holding his little daughter. She's got a little bow in her hair, and his wife, and that's the family picture. Now this guy is rotting in Fort Leavenworth. Never got a pardon, never got a second trial, never got a review, and that's not right. Then there was a black sergeant. He had two kids, and he thought that one of the Al-Qaeda was that was in his custody was lunging for his gun, and he shot him, and he's doing time. He's doing time in Fort Leavenworth. And there was a third guy. And then there's a Lieutenant Behenna that they try to crucify, but he beat it. And he's running for office in North Carolina. There's a colonel that they try to crucify, and he beat it. But there is an issue that just came up yesterday, and I've entitled it the Communist Political Correctness. PC police wasting American lives on the battlefield. There is a prosecutor. His name is Captain William Miller. He's the government prosecutor of First Lieutenant Lawrence. And he is charging First Lieutenant Lawrence with using his rank and position to harass, intimidate, threaten, and murder Afghans. And then you can go to theblacksphere.net and you can read the whole story. And I say, starting with the vetting of Captain William Miller's military service records, including combat experience, let's go up the chain of command and subpoena every communist who participated in the destruction of American military morale. Let's follow the trail and leave no stone unturned until we have exposed the communists in the White House and the Pentagon who allow this cancer to metastasize. They should be tried and executed as enemy combatants. The CIC is the highest-ranking military officer, and while we're at it, throw in the Benghazi rats who committed cowardice in the face of the enemy. You can go to YouTube and click on SEAL Team 6 is Sacrificed, and you will see all of the guys that were murdered in a politically correct mission in Afghanistan. And that doesn't even count the ones in Benghazi. And don't forget that this president gave away a secret information on SEAL Team 6 to make a movie. You think about that. So, there are others like Lieutenant Lawrence rotting in Fort Leavenworth without a fair trial. We should review all American prisoners of war convicted since the Desert Storm began. I call them American prisoners of war. If I had my way, I would pardon 100% of all those unjustly kangarooed by incompetence with no combat experience. Get every traitor on that ass-kissing ladder from the bottom rung to the very top. And there's a picture of this Lieutenant Lawrence. And he's the average American. He's a family guy. It's really sad. And now he's disgraced, and he's out of the military and will be replaced by a communist who will move up the ladder under affirmative communist action. It is really sad. So, having said that, let me give you another tune, and then we'll see what we're doing. We're out of time, so hey, we'll do yeah, this is the healthcare song. some news about Arizona sheriffs that smacked down feds over unconstitutional demands regarding public land. As the saying goes, along with tremendous power comes tremendous responsibility. I cannot think of any person in public service who fits that saying more than a county sheriff. However, the major networks have spent many years brainwashing the populace into thinking that federal agents are the top cops. How many times have you seen a cop show on TV where the feds show up, flash their badge, and relieve the local sheriff? Then local sheriff storms off in frustration because the feds took over the case. That, good people, is brainwashing. What many people are unaware of is that your sheriff is the top law enforcement official in your county. He or she has jurisdiction even over the feds. There are many people with whom I have spoken who believe that the only chance that this country has is for good, honest sheriffs to stand up and assert their power. Perhaps not a silver bullet, but every sheriff of every county, if they found their constitutional spine, it would set the feds' plans of dominating the population back 25 years. The first thing we have to do is kick the feds off our lands. But I digress. In Arizona, the Arizona Sheriff's Association is asserting their power over the feds, or at least their power not to comply. When the feds rule by decree that any trailers left in the national park in Arizona would be towed if left more than 72 hours, the ASA shot back. And what did they do? I guess they refused to do it. Be the first to comment. And there's no comments. Okay. I like when we have no tolerance for comments containing vilism, radicalism, racism, vulgarity, profanity, all caps. Who made that rule up about all caps? Was that part of the communist conditioning? Yes, we don't want anybody. You're under arrest. What did I do? And you typed in all caps. You know what? If you really want no caps, no all caps, then it shouldn't be. The computer should change it. Yes, but I always do caps because I do like to shout, and I'm a captain. Yeah, unbelievable. My reason for doing caps is goes back to fax machines, because in faxing overseas, people found it easier to read caps than to read lowercase. And not only that, if Gupta fell off the generator bike and the message bled, you could still make it out if it was in caps. Having said that, we're going to say sayonara. And we'll do a tune dedicated to the communist attempt to lock up the United States. It will never happen, not as long as we got guns.
What good is melody if it ain't possessing something sweet? It ain't the music, it ain't the melody. There's something else that makes that tune complete. It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. I do what, 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 do what. It don't mean a thing, all you gotta do is sing. I do what, 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 do what. It makes no difference if it's sweet or hard. You just give that rhythm everything you've got. Well, it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. I do what, 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 do what. just get that rhythm, everything you've got. Well, it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. I do what, 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 do what. I do what, 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 do what. It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing.
I'll close with a quote from Teddy Roosevelt. It was part of a major public speech in Dakota Territory in July the 4th, 1886. And Teddy says, like all Americans, I like big things, big parades, big forests and mountains, big wheat fields, railroads, and herds of cattle too, big factories, steamboats, and everything else. But we must keep steadily in mind that no people were ever yet benefited by riches if their property corrupted their virtue. It is of more importance that we should show ourselves honest, brave, truthful, and intelligent than that we should own all the railroads and grain elevators in the world. I am myself at heart as much a Westerner as an Easterner. I am proud indeed to be considered one of yourselves, and I address you in the rather solemn strain today only because of my pride in you and because your welfare, morale, as well as material is so near my heart. You think Obama could give that speech? Do you think Bill Clinton could give that speech? I never had saxophone with that woman. Unbelievable. Okay, so that's our show for tonight. Until we meet again, adios.